Lisa.
And I'm Nook.
And you're listening to It Takes Two, the podcast where two people take two movies with the same plot or premise and watch and discuss them.
And in this episode, it's about time travel, Lisa's favorite thing.
It is.
And we watched 2012's Looper and 1984's Terminator.
Yeah, The Terminator.
The Terminator. In
fact. This has ended up being accidentally one of the best timed episodes we've ever done. Because we're doing this for your birthday, but we were supposed to be doing a Dune episode for your birthday and then push that forward. And I pulled this from like 2 years down the line. But not only is this for your birthday, one of the movies takes place on your birthday, and this year in particular, your birthday is on Mother's Day.
Yeah.
And these are two movies about mothers.
They are.
So, it's a weird coincidence, because that was, I mean, I should have just let it sound like I planned all that. But no, this is fun. It's one of your favorite movies.
Looper?
Oh, I thought The Terminator was one of your favorite movies.
Terminator 2, Judgment Day.
Yeah, we didn't do that one, but I do feel like Looper has elements of both.
A little bit, yeah.
But I think it was more like this one. Okay, so these are two movies about... I haven't practiced this, so let me go through it in my head.
Do you normally practice it?
No. Well, sometimes like I have an idea of what I'm going to say. All right, so they're two movies about a guy...
Time travel.
Yeah, there's time travel. Okay, there are two movies about someone coming from the future looking to find and kill someone who in the future is going to be a negative force on their life or on their people that they know, people in their sphere. And they come back with general information, narrow it down to three potential people and have a list of three addresses and then go to those people one by one to kill them all to make sure that they eliminate the person, while someone else who is also there and has a connection to the whole situation is very connected to someone, finds the third person first, who is a woman named Sarah, whose son is very important to the future. And he has to protect Sarah from this person who has come back from the future to kill her because... Or to kill her son because of what her son does in the future.
You're telling me Emily Blunt's character's name is Sarah?
Yeah, did you not cop that?
Sarah.
It's Sarah.
Yeah.
Maybe it's spelt without the H at the end, but it's still Sarah.
Yeah.
They call her Sarah throughout the movie. How did you not notice then?
So this is the end of the end of the podcast. We've covered both Looper and Terminator. And
There is another connection, but it's I will say, and like there's an end to both movies that's the same. So I will say spoiler alert for the ending of Looper and The Terminator, and also
it's only, you know,
we will spoil everything else.
12 years old. Don't worry about it, guys.
The main guy in both cases sacrifices himself trying to kill the person who has come back in time as well. That also happens in both movies.
Yeah.
So Looper's just a remake of the... Yeah, these are very similar. I literally, because I saw someone say that they were similar like a few years back, and I was just like, oh, you know, I guess. They're both time travel films, and then when you get into the nitty gritty of it, that's the same. So, what are your thoughts?
It's got your boy in it.
Which one's my boy?
Paul Dano.
Paul Dano! I do love him. He's very good. I honestly forgot he was in this movie until I was having a conversation about Paul Dano with someone at work like last week. And then I was like, dang it. Literally forgot he was in Looper.
Yeah, watching them both in a row like we did today, it's unbelievably similar. And I don't know if that's just... Like, it's funny because Ryan Johnson made the worst Star Wars movie.
In your opinion.
In my opinion. In a lot of people's opinion.
Really? I thought... Didn't he make the middle one and the third one was...
Yeah, but the third one was worse because it doesn't matter.
Okay, we'll say this. Rian Johnson didn't make Palpatine come back.
True.
So, I don't know.
Disney should have had a plan. They should have done a trilogy.
If either...
They should have got actual people who could write to write them.
Yeah, J.J. Abrams did the other two, right?
Yeah.
So if either Rian Johnson or J.J. Abrams had been given a trilogy, I feel like in either scenario it would have been better than what they did do.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he's done a lot of good work. Despite Star Wars. Knives Out and Glass Onion were fantastic. And yep. I didn't realise he'd written, well, half written this as well. Looper, that is.
Yeah.
Not Terminator, obviously.
And Brick was his... Yeah. I was going to say his first one. It probably wasn't his first one. It's just the earliest one I am familiar with. Which also had Joseph Gordon-Levitt in it.
Weird. Sorry, I'm yawning. Not because you're boring.
It is because I'm boring.
It's not because you're boring. Yeah, it's interesting. Like, you could say it's a ripoff. You could say it's an homage. You could argue until you're red in the face and out of breath about which one's which.
I was just checking the, like, IMDb movie connections to see if it literally lists it as a reference.
Yeah.
And it does. It just says that it's the Terminator is cited by Rian Johnson as an influence.
Right.
So is Akira, which is a movie that you...
Yeah.
It's another one. I can kind of see, you know...
Yeah. I you know, the technology, even though it's supposed to be a couple of years in the future, is interesting. The weird people with telekinesis is interesting, just from a random plot point that's just, like, thrown up. And it is the weirdest, because there's, like, ad campaigns to get yourself tested if you've got telekinesis, so you can, like, wave coins in women's faces.
Yeah, it's funny that...
And it's never mentioned if, like, because Emily Blunt's character, Sarah... has TK as well.
Yeah.
But it's never mentioned any other woman that can do it.
Yeah.
And she makes a joke about holding down guys' quarters that were trying to flirt with her until they, like, blew blood vessels in their eyes.
Yeah.
And then...
Which is funny, but also extreme.
Yeah. And Sid, who's the Kyle Reese of the... No, not the Kyle Reese. The John Connor. John Connor of this universe, who's, like, righting the wrongs of destroying this weird time travel
syndicate
that are sending people back in time so they can disappear. Oh, yeah, their bodies.
I should have mentioned that in both cases the person who comes back is someone whose whole purpose is assassinations.
Yeah,
they're very very specialized
terminations
assassins.
Almost
terminations in one case. Yeah.
Sorry, you'd like knocked me off my track of thought. It's really sad now watching, and we're on a completely different track, so I apologize.
I haven't edited this. This is just how his brain works.
What happens when you interrupt me and I'm on a train of thought? The train derails and thousands of innocent thoughts die.
I can try and put you back on the rails.
It's really sad watching any movie with Bruce Willis in it now.
Yeah, true.
He was one of my favorite actors growing up because just, you know, he was like the one-liner dude. He was like he wasn't super muscular and Austrian. He was just like, you know, gritty and real and very lucky is basically, you know, his character type.
Do you know that he was considered for the role of Kyle Reese?
Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
That would have been weird.
It would have been great to watch those movies back to back. Yeah.
Bruce Willis has become the Terminator. Yeah. No, it's interesting because, yeah, like, it's really sad what's happened to Bruce. You know, he's made some mistakes in his career, like the whole Bruno music career idea was a bit bizarre, you know. But, you know, when you have a framework to do stuff that you want to do as a person that's famous, go and do it. You know, it's bizarre looking back in it, but it's also very sad that, you know, he's, you know, what happened to illness? I can't remember what it is. It's something really sad. It's like a degenerative brain disorder.
Yeah, I know he's got aphasia, but that's just a symptom.
Yeah.
It's not dementia, is it, or Alzheimer's?
No.
It's another...
Looking it up. Wow. What? There's nothing on it. That's very strange.
Frontotemporal dementia. So it is a form of dementia.
Form of dementia.
Yeah.
Very sad.
Yeah.
Obviously, The Terminator is a beloved movie by everybody who's ever seen it, including Lisa, who I forced to make watch it before. We weren't in a relationship then.
No.
You watched it on your own accord because you were trying to find ways to date me because I'm so fabulous.
Yeah, that's not really what happened. You just kept giving me like USB sticks with copies of your DVDs on them.
Yeah.
Like, watch this.
Yeah.
You should watch this.
And you watched it.
I did.
You watched Terminator and Terminator 2 Judgment Day.
Yeah, well, I mean, here's the thing is that the first conversation we had about time travel was that I asked you what your favorite movies were, and you said you don't have single favorite movies, you have favorite movies in different genres.
Correct.
And then you said time, I can't remember if you said time loop films or time travel films, and you said your favorite is time crimes.
Yeah.
Which is my favorite.
Yeah.
And so I knew I could trust your judgment on time travel films. Because that is a fantastic movie. If anyone hasn't seen that, 100% recommend.
Okay. So, I'm going to get into a weird thing here.
Okay.
How's the easiest way to put this? Terminator as a series is really weird.
Mm-hmm.
Because they get new people to come in and write it, and things change dramatically, and it doesn't make sense in the rest of the canon.
Mm-hmm.
The perfect example of this is one of the movies they spoiled with the poster, which was a really bad marketing decision,
mm-hmm.
which was Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
Genesis is super weird.
Mm-hmm.
I will give you the plot line of Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
It's the beginning of Terminator 1,
yep.
So the Terminator turns up and kills Bill Paxton.
Bill Paxton.
Kills Bill Paxton, but instead of being able to kill Bill Paxton, Terminator turns up and beats the shit out of him. And then Sarah Connor shoots the Terminator with a 50 cal sniper rifle. And then Kyle Reese turns up, who's a completely different dude. I'm not saying they would have got the exact same actor. I'm like, he's a completely different person. Like, his personality, everything about him is different. And then it turns out that she's now referring to the Terminator as old man. And he was sent from the future to the past to protect her before Kyle Reese, before the first Terminator. Yeah, I know.
Okay.
And then John Connor is Skynet now.
What?
Yeah, and they ruined it on the poster because he comes like to the past and fights them as a Terminator. But he's like a nano Terminator, so he's made out of nanobots. So you know how there was the liquid Terminator?
Yes.
Okay, and then the Terminatrix.
Hang on. What does any of this have to do with Looper?
A lot. I'm getting to that. It's like to explain Warhammer 40k, you can't start at Warhammer 40k. You have to explain the Horus Heresy, and you can't explain the Horus Heresy without the War in Heaven.
I thought you were going to say you have to explain Warhammer 1 through 39,999.
It's over, Horus. I have the 40,000th Warhammer. So the point I was getting to, I'll get to the point. Okay. Each Terminator, except for 1 and 2, are from a different
alternate timeline. Right.
And the reason I brought that up is because it is one of the key and pivotal points of Looper.
Yes. Because that was something I made note of watching the Terminator this time, is that it is a closed loop.
Yeah.
That, at the end she gets her photo taken and it's the photo that he had.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, everything has happened how it was supposed to happen.
Yeah.
Whereas in Looper, and presumably you're saying in the other Terminators,
yeah,
what you do in the past can change the timeline of the future.
Yeah. So in Terminator 3, spoilers, it's an old movie.
haven't seen it, so you're spoiling it for do you me want, well.
It's mid.
I don't know what that means, but
it's just, mid. As in,
so, you just said the same word again.
It's not. It's like a hard. It's a soft six, a hard five. There's some cool moments in it, but it's got the Terminatrix.
I still don't know. Is that like a Dominatrix who's
yeah,
a Terminator?
Yeah, who's a Terminator.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Does it also call her a Terminator?
But she's not. She's more advanced. She grows her boobs.
Oh my god, I don't care about her growing boobs.
To entice me.
I just want to talk about time travel.
Okay.
And you just want to talk about
so
Terminator boobs.
Yeah. So she's a more advanced Terminator. Anyway.
She's not in either of the movies we watched.
I know. I'm getting to the point. The point is that, yes, without... So Looper is self-contained, and through Joe's actions, he does change the future in the past. Both Joes change the future in the past.
Yeah.
Old Joe, new Joe. Blue Joe, borrowed Joe. And you get a little bit of hints of this as, like, you know, he could see, you know, where things were going. And, you know, there's a weird, gross scene with Sid. Not Sid. Seth, who's played by your boy Paul.
Oh, it's like genuinely, I said it to you when we were watching it, it's genuinely like one of my favorite moments in cinema. So again, spoiler alert, but for those of you who haven't seen Looper, if you're happy for me to spoil this for you,
they have no option other than pressing pause or stop,
or yeah, not listen to the episode. That's the option. Or you can fast forward by a little bit, whatever, it's up to you. Anyway, so the kind of plot of Looper is essentially that, or the setup of it is that these guys in the past, or in the, you know, the present of 2044, they've been brought into, they're all like kind of guy, they're all like essentially homeless orphans or whatever, but they've been brought into this organization where they assassinate people, but the reason they're assassinating people is because in the future, it's impossible to hide a body. So this organization has set up a way to dispose of a body, which is that they send it back, they send the person still alive back through time, tied up with a bag over their head, and one of these guys shoots them, and then they get paid.
Yep.
And that's it. And then eventually, they kill one of them, and when they open up, the payload is gold, and that means it's themselves.
They close their loop.
They've closed their own loop.
So they get out of the contract in 30 years' time, they get sent back to the past and get shot.
Yeah, so when they kill themselves, their future self, then their contract is over and they can go live their life. And then in 30 years, if they're still alive, they get sent back.
Yeah.
And Paul Dano's character...
Seth.
His future self comes back. And he knows it's him because he's singing a song from his childhood. And he just, like, panics in the moment. And the guy convinces them, the future Seth convinces him to set him free. And then, as a result, people are hunting the current Seth so that they can get the old Seth. And they introduce this setup of, like, carving, you know, a deadline into his arm so that the future him can see it. But then, like, while the future him is deciding whether to still run or not, like, his fingers start disappearing, his nose disappears, and then he's like, trying to get back to where they've told him to be, and as he's doing it, like, his feet are going, his legs are going, and it's awful. It's so horrible, because you know that they're doing this to young Paul Dano, and... like, without ever having to show it to you.
Yeah.
And then, like, that you just see, like, a glimpse at the end of him, like, on an operating table where they've been doing this to him. But, like, it's so visceral without actually showing any of the gore.
Yeah.
Because, like, you're seeing 30-year-old scars of these things that have happened, but you know that they're happening right now, and you've been set up to kind of have some amount of sympathy for this character that they're happening to, and it's, like, it's just so well done.
Yeah.
It's great.
Jeff Bridges is Abe. He's the leader of the Loopers in the present.
Yeah, he was the first one sent back to the past so he could set up
the
organization and explain it and get the guys going to do the looping.
Do you think that he was controlling Joe's future. Because he's like, oh, how's your Mandarin coming? He's like, I'm learning French. He's like, why? Okay. He's like, I want to go to France. It's like, go to China.
I can explain that to you.
Okay.
It's nothing to do with the film. It's to do with the budget. Because the original version of the script had him going to France.
Right.
And then they realized they didn't have the budget to go to France. And then a company in Shanghai was like, hey, we will pay for you to come out here and film here. So, and then they were like, oh, it does look more futuristic anyway. So it's literally just because, like, but they've left in that he was learning French.
Right.
And as like a joke nod to their own thing. I don't, but also I think the joke with Abe is not supposed to be that he's controlling his future, but that he knows that that's the place to be, and that's where, like,
right,
you know, Joe will do well, which is why there's the funny line where Joe's like, no, I, you know, he's, like, insisting he go to France, and he's like, I'm from the future. Learn Mandarin.
Yeah. You know? Go to China.
Yeah. But, yeah, I think, but it's just funny because it is literally in the original script he was supposed to actually go to France. Which, but then they just left it in that he was learning French, even though he just ended up going to France. I feel like part of that, though, was also so they could have the waitress named Beatrix.
Right.
Which is, I think, a French name or French origin, which is why he speaks French to her. And then you have the be at,
yeah,
you know, the bit of the red herring.
It's that whole future sequence when Joe closes loop is really good.
Yeah. I love that they do that, that you get to see both versions of it.
Yeah.
So you see what Joe's whole life is up to the point that he's sent back.
Yeah.
And you see why he did what he did.
Yeah.
And why he's now going after this kid.
Yeah, it's a really dark storyline. And yeah, you can, like, understand the motivation that he has. And it's like when he kills the first child, it's not just like, oh, I've done it, let's move on to the next
one.
He's like,
I was
actually regretting.
He totally breaks down about it. When we were watching that sequence, because I knew we were watching Terminator next, I was like, this is the difference.
Yeah.
Because this is pure humanity.
Yeah.
That he did this thing, this horrible thing, because he's trying to save his wife. But, like, even after doing it, he's, like, questioning himself and totally emotionally breaking down over it.
Yeah.
But then he still goes to the next kid.
Here's a fact for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's very topical at the moment.
Uh-oh.
Do you know they originally had the idea of casting OJ?
Yes.
As the Terminator. But they were, his casting, they didn't like the casting because he'd come off as a believable murderer.
Oh no, is that what it was?
Yeah.
Oh no. Oh no.
Yeah.
Well, Arnie was put forward to be Kyle Reese.
That's also dumb.
Yeah. Well, that's literally what James Cameron said. He was like, absolutely not. He was like, I don't want him to be this big muscle man.
Yeah.
And then the, I can't remember who suggested Arnie to him, but they convinced him to go and actually meet him.
Yeah.
And then Arnie had read this, had like so many ideas about what they could do with the character. That James Cameron, with the character of the Terminator, as opposed to the character of Kyle Reese, that by the end of the meeting, James Cameron had convinced him to play Terminator, even though he apparently had to fight his own agent for it, because his agent thought it was a bad idea for him to play a villain.
But he's like one of the greatest villains of all time.
Yeah. Yeah, he managed to get on the Terminator, I think, was the only character, there was some list of, like, 100 greatest villains and heroes or whatever, and the Terminator made the list twice.
As one of the heroes and
one of the villains. And he was the only character to make the list twice. And Arnie and I think Al Pacino were the only actors to make the list twice make the list more than once as a hero and a villain.
Right.
Whereas everyone else who was on there more than once was all heroes or all villains.
Right. There's a really... Because here's the thing.
Yeah.
If you can quote a character, mm-hmm, the character is rememberable.
That's not a word, but okay.
What?
You just said rememberable.
What's the word then?
Just memorable.
Memorable then. Whatever. and made a word. Why can't I be Shakespeare? Where was I going?
You can quote him.
Yeah, if you can quote him, it means they're a good character. Like, mm-hmm. everyone can quote Darth Vader. Well, I'm not saying everyone. I'm just saying a lot of people can quote Darth Vader.
Yeah.
People can quote Yoda.
Mm-hmm.
Quote a line that Luke says. I'm going to go to Tashi Station and pick up power converters. No, you know.
49. No. Yeah. I was gonna say, no.
Yeah, that's not Anakin said it previously.
Well, no, in fairness, Anakin said it previously in the timeline of canon, but not in actual real life.
What?
Luke Dunn did it first in real life.
Yep. Yeah, that's the thing. Like, and so the point I'll be making, since you keep picking up on every time I want to go off on a tangent, she's looking off into the distance, I didn't. Folks.
You're going on your own tangents within tangents.
Yes, it's called a ball of yarn. It's how my brain works. You never know which end is the right end. I'll be back.
Yep.
It is not in the script. He was supposed to say, I'll be right back.
That's not what I read.
What did you read?
That Arnie didn't want to say, I'll be back, because he thought it sounded too feminine.
Okay.
And also that Arnie suggested they should say, I will be back, because he thought it sounded more robotic. But the original thing was like, I will come back, or something like that.
Okay. Anyway, the point is that he... Somebody changed the line and it became one of the most iconic lines of all time.
Yeah, well, apparently Arnie fought against it, and then James Cameron said to him, I don't tell you how to act, don't tell me how to write. Which does sound like a James Cameron thing to say.
We did see him in person, and he called the people who died in that submarine tragedy idiots, so...
I mean...
They were idiots.
Yeah, he's not entirely wrong about that. It's still sad, I guess, but... The funniest thing about the script, actually, just thinking about like what I learned through trivia stuff, is that there's so many guns in that movie, and James Cameron knew nothing about guns because he's Canadian.
Makes sense.
Which I feel like is something people forget, that he was like, oh shit, I don't know anything about guns, and he's like, wait a second, I live in America, I can just go and buy some.
It's interesting because when he says phased plasma rifle in a 40-watt range,
yeah.
There's a lot of, like, fan theories online, because
mm-hmm.
he didn't act, like, because, you know, like, what Kyle Reese says, that there's not a lot of information about the past.
Yeah.
So, it's either the Terminator checking if what technology is available.
Yeah.
But the issue with a 40-watt range, you know how much 40 watts is? It's, like, literally nothing.
Right.
So, why would you want...
Light bulbs are stronger than that,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. So you think about it this way. If you have a weapon, like an energy-based weapon, that only, like, 40-watt range, like, what does that even mean? Does it mean, like, it can only go to 40 watts, or is each shot, like, 40 watts? It doesn't make any sense.
I don't know. It's a mystery. It's fun.
What's fun?
It's just fun.
The weapons in Looper are also very strange.
What do you think of those, though?
It's
Blunderbuster or whatever.
The blunderbusses are very weird because they look like break action shotguns.
Mm-hmm.
They're highly detailed.
Yeah.
But also, it only happens later on in the movie where it becomes pump action. Because every other shot, because I thought the whole purpose of them was, is they were like some like junk made weapon because it's in the future.
Yeah.
And they were, like, a single shot because, you know, the Looper guys can't hit anything other than, you know, that aren't 15 feet away.
Yeah, that was the idea. It was that they can't miss anything that's within range, and but you can't hit anything that's out of range.
Yeah, but then, like, all the Gatmen...
Yeah.
Gatmen all have, like... I think they have, like, 400 Nitro Expresses. I can't remember. I'm going to look it up right now.
It's so specific. I don't know.
Yeah, they're huge, huge, like, revolver pistols, and it doesn't make any sense.
Why?
Because you don't need a round that big to kill a person. You don't even need to around that big to kill a person that's, like, slightly further away.
Mm-hmm.
The Terminator does pick the correct weapons. The Terminator picks the correct weapons to be using.
Yeah.
He uses a shotgun, a 45 caliber pistol, and an Uzi. Mm-hmm. It's all you need.
Yeah. Well, is the idea...
To kill three women.
Is the idea that in this, like... version of the future where this guy has is running this whole town, and also like Sarah references that like every person she sees in town is a sad lonely orphan boy who's been abandoned and is lost.
Yeah.
Is the thought not that these might be the only weapons they have?
Yeah, because the point I'm making is what the hell is it called?
I don't know.
Futuristic shotgun, blah, 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 guns and movies. I can understand, like, a pipe gun, which is just two pieces of pipe, and you just, like, shut them, and it shoots a shotgun shell.
Right.
As being, like, a blunderbuss.
Yeah.
They're all, for some reason, like, individualized. They're not, like, I don't know if the, like, loopers are making them.
Maybe.
Or someone's making them out of scrap metal.
Yeah.
But it doesn't make sense when... old Joe busts in and goes on the police station raid, like Terminator does, and kills everybody.
Yeah.
Why they have all these other, like, way better weapons, yet everybody's using these random...
Because the guys who are closing the loops are the shit, just, like, the goons that they picked off the street to do this, because they're the people who are going to die.
No, I'm saying that the weird... Okay, so it's a Magnum Research... 45-70 government. So that is a rifle caliber and probably expensive. Probably very expensive. It's very strange to have them all using revolvers like that when they could just use regular handguns.
But maybe they can't. Do we see many regular handguns in the movie?
Yes, when Joe busts in and like raids their armory and takes two P90s.
Okay. Oh, but that's in the armory. It's not like that they are using... It's not on the guys?
No.
Oh, it's weird then. I don't know. So I was going to say, like, I imagine...
But then when he's in Shanghai, he has normal guns. He has a scorpion, or what looks like a scorpion, and some of the, like, I was going to say Johnny Silverhand-style pistol. But that probably doesn't ring a bell to a lot of people. It looks like a futuristic pistol with, like, shrouding. Think John Wick. Porting, shrouding, cut down, flared magwell.
None of those words mean anything.
To you, yeah.
To anyone who's listening.
Okay.
None of those words mean anything.
Do you want me to explain every single one?
No!
It's very strange.
Oh my god. Okay. That's all you need to say. It's unusual. They should have been using those guns and not the ones they had. The end. About the guns.
This is a very interesting style choice.
What did you think of Kid Blue and his gun tricks?
The guy that's got holes in his feet?
Yeah.
It's interesting. I thought he was the same guy who's in Logan, but it's not. I can't remember the actor's name. That's the problem.
Well, the guy, his name is Noah Segan, the guy who plays Kid Blue. But apparently he took a bunch of classes to learn how to swing the gun around his fingers and got really good at it.
Right.
But they filmed like a bunch of different takes of him doing it, and there was only one take where he
messed it up. And that's what they put in the movie.
That's what they put in the movie because they thought it looked funnier.
That's ruthless.
That's so mean to this guy who like perfected this art.
Yeah.
But also his character like just...
is a fuck up the entire movie.
Yeah, just continuously making things 10 times worse every time he does anything. It's very funny. So I understand. I do think that the right choice was to have him drop the gun. But it's just so funny that he did a bunch of takes where he got it perfect, and then they were like, let's use the one where he messed up. That's mean. On a similar note, just while we're on the... we'll just get all the gun conversation out at once. Arnie worked with guns every day for a month to prepare for the role of Terminator. And he, during the first 2 weeks of filming, practiced weapon stripping and reassembly blindfolded until he could do it automatically. Because he wanted it to look like a machine doing it.
Yeah, no scenes like that happen in the movie.
Yeah. and he also had to be ambidextrous with his gun, so he had to, like, practice
yeah.
doing everything with all the guns in either hand. So, like, all his different moves, he was practicing all of his different motions up to 50 times and stuff like that. And he ended up being featured in Soldier of Fortune magazine for realistic handling of guns on camera. Because apparently they normally criticize people's use of guns in films.
Yeah, they're usually terrible.
Yeah. So what are your thoughts on Arnie's handling of guns? Is it good?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like the the movie came out before I was born. Like, it's... I couldn't be, like, criticizing it.
Yeah, you could. What? Are you saying you can't criticize anything that came out before you were born?
No, that's not what I'm saying.
That's a weird thing to say.
Okay. It's... Talking of the gun thing.
Oh, God.
Okay, I'm just going to stop. You she's visibly angry, folks.
I'm not. She's aware that we spent 20 minutes talking about guns.
She's doing the hand slicing across the throat gesture.
Yeah. I'm going to kill him once we finish recording.
Yeah.
Happy birthday. Sweet. What else do you want to talk about that's not
I don't know. Every time I try and talk about something, you shut me down. Even though it is my birthday episode.
Go for it.
No, it's too late. You've ruined the mood.
What are you going to say?
No.
Emily Blunt is great.
Emily Blunt is great in everything.
Emily Blunt is fantastic in everything. I feel like I must have seen this before I knew who Emily Blunt was, or I hadn't seen her in much. And now I've seen her in lots of things. And so it's like, oh yeah, Emily Blunt is in that film.
She's like the best part of Edge of Dying. Edge of Tomorrow.
Right. I still haven't seen that one. Another time loop film, right?
Yeah. She's great in
Devil Wears Prada.
I was going to say Quiet Place. And 2. Not in 3, but 3 is apparently going to be a prequel.
Yeah, I haven't seen 3. So
it's not out yet.
Yeah, I know. So I don't know how you know Emily Blunt's not good in it.
Not in it.
Emily Blunt's terrible in this movie. She's not in.
Yeah, she is great in Devil Wears Prada.
Yeah, she's great in that.
I can't think of anything else that stands out as...
Well, she was in Mary Poppins 2, which was a weird...
Okay, I've never seen that.
Well, she plays Mary Poppins in it. I mean, she does a good job, but it's a weird choice to even make in Mary Poppins 2.
Yeah, what is going on with that at the moment?
What do you mean at the moment? Are they doing another one?
No, it's just the other thing that came up with the previous episode when we were talking about Timothée Chalamet, with the weird Wonka movie that no one asked for or wanted.
I don't know.
Just very strange that, like, sequels aren't doing well, so they just start making prequels to everything.
Yeah.
And prequels to things no one, like, people who would be going to see it probably...
Mary Poppins 2 is a sequel, not a prequel.
Yeah.
Oh, I should remember, she's in a movie that's out at the moment, the Fall Guy.
Oh, yeah, I want to see that.
Yeah, we got to see that one.
Yeah, so I'm actually glad you want to see it, because
My boy Ryan Gosling, yeah. You're in love with him.
Yeah. He's just so damn sexy.
Oh, Oppenheimer. She was just an Oppenheimer. Yeah. She's good at everything. She's just good in all the things she's in. Anyway. She's really good in this. Yeah. And I feel like the reason, or part of the reason that I forget that she's in it sometimes is also that she's American in it, when she's very British in real life.
Yeah.
But she's American in A Quiet Place too.
Yeah.
She just doesn't talk very much in it, I guess, because it's
a movie about being quiet.
Yeah. Sicario.
I think I've got that, actually.
Denis Villeneuve movie. It's surprising he didn't put her in one of the Dunes, because he likes reusing actors.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, other than Jessica, I can't think of a character.
That she could play?
Yeah.
Fair enough.
It's very weird to put her as just like a... To get someone like Emily Blunt and put her as like a random person.
Yeah, I guess so. You could do though.
Yeah,
she's in the 2011 Muppets movie as just like Miss Piggy's personal assistant or something.
Yeah, but then she probably is wanted what you want, which is like to be around the Muppets. You're a Muppophile or whatever it is. Oh, people who are sexually attracted to Muppets. That's
not accurate.
It's not accurate, or no. You just don't want that.
That's disgusting. You're weird.
It's my birthday episode, and I'll ruin it if I want to.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt, like, in this movie...
looks like a young Bruce Willis.
I mean, I feel like he doesn't really look... I mean, I get the prosthetics make him look more like Bruce Willis than he normally does, but we've seen a lot of young Bruce Willis. I watched Moonlighting. I know what young Bruce Willis looks like. He doesn't look like young Bruce Willis looked. But he acts exactly like Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
Like, he just, like, it's like he jumped at the chance to just be able to do Bruce Willis impressions. And really well. Like, really subtly just copying mannerisms and whatever. Like, you'd looking at him, you'd believe, you know, that's what young Bruce Willis is like.
The wide shot of him waiting with a pocket watch for his targets to look up, that to me is he looks like Bruce Willis there. He looks like a young Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
Without doing the hell was it called? Like, the Rebel One weird stuff where they did with, like, the CGI facing over it, which would have made movie a whole bit, like, what they did with Grand Moff Tarkov.
Rogue One.
Yeah, Rogue One. They did a really good job.
Yeah. Just the prosthetics?
Yeah.
Because it's just a handful. I think it's just, like, his lip and his... eyebrows? Is that it?
I think it's his nose as well.
His nose as well. It's very subtly done prosthetics.
Yeah.
Like, you wouldn't know looking at it. It's not like Gandalf's nose, you know what I mean? Just looking at that person, you wouldn't think, if you didn't know what Joseph Gordon-Levitt looks like normally, you wouldn't think there's prosthetics on him. It's very subtly done and very well done, and it does make him look a lot more like Bruce Willis than... Because if you just heard that casting, you'd be like, really?
Yeah.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt as young Bruce Willis. Also, contacts in the eyes, I think.
Their eyes
are different colors. He does a fantastic job. I feel like he's an underrated actor, just because I don't hear about him being cast in a lot. But everything I've seen him in, he's fantastic in. He's phenomenal.
I don't feel like he's underrated.
Really?
He's in a lot of stuff.
Like, what's he been in recently?
Bunch of rom-coms you made me watch.
Okay, I got you to watch one rom-com, which was 500 Days of Summer, which was made like 20 years ago. Looper is more recent than that.
He was Jiminy Cricket.
Yeah, we did watch that.
Trial of the Chicago 7.
Yeah, but that's not like a big... You know, the stuff that he's been in haven't been like huge films.
Like The Walk... Snowden.
But it might be just that he's just picking films that he likes.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, he also in Muppets as himself, but that was the TV series.
He's got three things going. Oh, God.
What?
Again, like I was just saying, a sequel that no one asked for. It's the new Beverly Hills Cop movie.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like just everything I've seen him in, he's really good in. But I think he is one of those actors who will, like, do passion projects more so than big things. And I think, like, because Brick must have been one of his first films.
Yeah.
Actually, no, it wouldn't have been because he was a child actor. What am I talking about? He was in, like, Third Rock from the Sun and all that in the 90s. But Brick, I mean, Brick still was, like, he was quite young in it. And I feel like he obviously has a friendship with Rian Johnson, so I can imagine... him approaching him for the film and being like, can you do Looper? And he'd be like, heck yeah, you're
did
my
did you ever BFF. Watch Third Rock from the Sun? It was such a weird
back
show.
Back in the day, yeah, but on and off, I've probably seen like 5 episodes total or something. Right. Like, I don't think it was something I ever got into.
Right. It was very weird.
Yeah, it was weird. This is Coneheads as well was another weird thing from back.
Coneheads is unrelated. Well, I guess they're both about aliens.
Both weird comedies about aliens.
Yeah.
Right?
I like Coneheads. I watched it, I was going to say recently, but it feels like it might have been 2 years ago.
Yeah, probably.
I watched it when I had COVID. The first time I had COVID, I think I watched Coneheads.
Yeah.
I definitely remember watching all of Underworld, all the Underworld movies.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know why I felt like watching sexy... leather-bound vampires and when I had COVID.
That's weird.
Yeah, it is weird. That's why I said it was weird.
Anyway, basically we're just talking about how good all the actors in Looper are.
Yeah. Well, we already talked about how great like James Cameron picking the same guy to kill him, like being a love interest first, and then killing
the
him.
The first time that they worked together. Yeah, but
twice.
And then he went on to.
Yeah.
And apparently he. This is Michael Biehn, right? That we're talking about. Apparently he was pretty skeptical about Terminator, and he agreed to do it, but he thought it was going to be like a really low budget weird film.
Yeah.
And didn't expect it to be as good or successful. As popular as it was. And that's why he ended up working with Cameron again.
Because I can't remember anything else he's in.
But also, like, the character ages are weird to me in Terminator. Because apparently Sarah Connor is supposed to be 18.
Right.
And Kyle Reese is supposed to be 21.
Okay.
But they're both played by 27-year-olds.
Okay.
And, like, not young-looking 27-year-olds.
It was the 80s, Lisa.
Yeah, but, like, you know, there were younger-looking 20-somethings. Like... You know, you look at Back to the Future, there's a bunch of people who do look like they're teens, even though they're not teens.
Yeah.
These look like people in their late 20s, early 30s, and they're playing, you know, an 18 and 21-year-old.
Because of the chain smoking everybody did in the 80s.
Yeah, maybe. This reminds me of What We Do in the Shadows, where he's like, this is why I look 16 forever.
Yeah.
Of course, in my day, 16-year-olds had a very hard time. yeah, I don't know.
Terminator, Aliens, I don't know what Rampage is.
Rampage?
Crime drama. The Abyss, we saw The Abyss.
Yeah, we did watch The Abyss.
Terminator 2, but only the director's cut.
Apparently they had, in line with our previous comments on James Cameron.
He's in The Rock. You love The Rock.
I've seen it once.
You love that movie.
Apparently the crew all had t-shirts made that said, "You can't scare me, I work with James Cameron."
Is there an explanation of why James Cameron is a scary person to work with?
I mean, I feel like we've covered that in every other James Cameron thing we've done. True. I don't think he tried to drown anyone on this one, though. But that does seem to be how he behaves. I did see something that described his style of filmmaking for The Terminator as guerrilla filmmaking.
What the hell does that even mean?
So they didn't get permits to film anywhere that they were doing right. On location. So what they would do is
actual car chases with the LAPD.
Pretty much. The crew would all arrive at once and set up really quickly, shoot on location, and try to leave before the police arrived. So sometimes there's scenes where there's everyday citizens unaware they're in a movie in the background. It was also like they would call Arnie at like 3, he called Arnie once at 3 a.m. to ask him to meet him on location already in costume to reshoot a scene. And then the last scene where they drove off into the desert, they had to like wait for the right moment to film it, and then a highway patrolman arrived. And they had to like convince him that they were doing like a college film project.
Right.
So that he wouldn't find them for illegally filming.
That's funny.
Yeah. Yeah, so I can imagine, like, if James Cameron already is an intense person to work for, I can imagine that being amped up on a project
where he's committing crime constantly.
Yeah, where he's just consistently committing crimes and being like, we need to set up and shoot immediately and then get out of here before the police get here. It's bizarre. It's such a good
The police and thing. They've got that GTA AI where they know where you are.
Yeah, they show up like, hang on a second.
Or it's like
Cameron's right here. They should put a tracker on James Cameron.
Red Dead Redemption when horses can dob you in for crimes. Just see you do it. Oh no, that was Skyrim.
Skyrim, the horse can see you do the crime. It's also, Terminator is also a movie that fits something that we haven't talked about in a long time that we used to talk about in a bunch of episodes, which is it's another Jesus movie, really. It's a nativity movie.
Oh, so he's... The Terminator is Satan coming back to stop the birth of Christ.
Yeah, it's a movie about the birth of someone named JC, who's... Yep. Whose mother was impregnated under unusual circumstances.
Time travel.
And then he's going to be the savior of humanity.
Yeah. But as I said earlier in the podcast...
Yeah, he also is Skynet? I don't understand.
Yeah, that they, like... Every time they save the future from Judgment Day,
Well, listen, is our boy Jimmy in on the writing of these scripts?
No, it's been random people.
we gotta trust Jim's scripts here. We can't be going off script. Apparently, he also storyboarded the film entirely himself because they didn't have enough budget to hire a designer.
Fair enough.
To do that.
Who wrote Rise of the Machines? Bunch of people. What did this person also write? That was it. Okay. And then Salvation is the one where
Christian Bale
went nuts and yelled at that.
Oh, was that on a Terminator film? I didn't realize. He was just housing the spirit of James Cameron.
And there was Genesis, and then Dark Fate, which
I thought that was a Transformers movie.
No.
Transformers, Dark Fate.
It sounds like a Transformers movie. And then there was a TV show that I watched
something. Was it the one with River Song in it? That's not her name.
River Phoenix, yeah.
No, what? River Phoenix? Phoenix's brother.
It's got Cersei Lannister and Summer River. Glau.
Summer...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and River.
That's not River Song. River Song's from Doctor Who. What the hell is her name?
Tam.
River Tam. Like, I said River Song and you said River Phoenix, and both of those are entirely incorrect people.
Yes. Lena Headey plays Sarah.
Sarah.
And who plays the weird Terminator?
I don't know.
Oh, it's what am I talking about? It's what's her face? It's Summer.
Oh, okay. Summer Glau.
She plays the lady Terminator.
Okay. The Terminatrix, as you...
No, it's deemed. Only the Terminatrix is in 3.
Okay. So I thought it was just a name for female Terminators.
So you know how the first Terminator is a living flesh over an exoskeleton?
Yeah.
And the second one is completely made out of liquid.
Right.
The third one is liquid over an exoskeleton, like over a skeleton.
Okay.
And then the fourth one, they have rubber. And the fifth one, Genesis, they're made of nanobots.
Okay. It's too weird for me. I don't like it.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's talk about Looper again.
Okay.
So, the kid is fucked up.
And that's all we have to say
about
this episode. The kid.
He's so... That child actor is adorable. He's so cute.
Most of them are.
And then, like, but he also does, like, such a great, like, angry death stare.
Yeah.
But there's, like, such great filmmaking moments in it. Because, I mean, we've already said spoiler alert, but a spoiler alert again. The kid has telekinesis, but he has, like, extremely... What?
Telekinesis. You said telekinesis.
Yeah, telekinesis.
Like it's a breakfast cereal.
No. Anyway.
Start your day with telekinesis.
He's incredibly strongly telekinetic and can literally explode people with his mind.
Yeah.
And we find that out. Because, first of all, Sarah knows the second she realizes... It's that she sees the number, the string of numbers that Joe, old Joe, was looking for. She knows that it's her son that he's looking for, not the other two.
Yeah.
And the reason she knows that is because she knows what he's capable of. And so she... And there is, like, hints to it earlier on where they say that, like, one guy took over, you know, the syndicate and shut everything down and was doing mass assassinations. And they were like, surely he had an army. And it's like, no, he did it alone. And so, but we find it out in this fantastic sequence where, one of the guys who works for the Looper organization has found Joe at Sarah's house, and he has a gun pointed at Joe, and then something makes a noise on the stairs, and he points the gun up, and you see it's the kid, and then the kid, like, startles and falls down the stairs, and it's all done in slow motion, and it's while old Joe is at the other place, and essentially Sarah runs and you think she's running to try and catch the kid, but she shoves young Joe out the door away from him.
Yeah.
And what he sees as he goes is everything in the room lift up, including the other guy, and then like just his guts exploding out of him.
Yeah. And that's how
old Joe remembers it. Yeah. As it's happening. And it's like, it's just so well done. It's just so perfectly set up and timed. And then you're just like left with this realization that like, holy shit, this kid is Brightburn, essentially. You know, this kid is incredibly dangerous. And you have this realization about like, you know, other stuff that's happened that you're like, oh my God, that's, you know, what this previous thing was about. And yeah, it's just like, but the kid, when he looks angry, like, you believe that that child could kill someone with that glare, but then he just looks adorable and sad all the rest of the time. I think I wrote in my notes that he reminds me of Goob from Meet the Robinsons. Remember the little roommate?
No.
What?
I've only seen that movie once.
Yeah, you've seen it once. Spoiler alert for Meet the Robinsons. Goob is the kid who's a roommate who then is always tired because of the invention, so he falls asleep and doesn't get the baseball, and then he grows up to be the evil bowler hat guy.
Okay.
Have you forgotten entirely that movie?
Yeah.
It's such a good movie.
Spoilers, he's the dad.
Who's... Oh, no! You just spoiled Meet the Robinsons for everyone.
Yeah.
You should watch it anyway. I love it. I love Meet the Robinsons. Another underrated Disney movie is Treasure Planet, which stars our boy Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Full circle. Anyway. The kid is great.
Exhausted.
The kid is great.
Yeah.
And the movies... It's interesting because I feel like Joe... Like, young Joe and Kyle Reese are total opposites at the beginning of it. In that Joe is very much focused on his own self-interest.
Yeah.
Whereas Kyle Reese has come back with fully intending to die in the past.
Yeah, he's to save in humanity. Love with his adopted dad's mum.
Yeah. So he's... in his own mind, has fallen in love with Sarah Connor already. But also he's, you know, part of this resistance and wants to save humanity and wants to make sure John Connor... He says he died for John Connor and that's what he's planning to do this whole time. And then he does do that. He literally doesn't hesitate to sacrifice himself. Whereas in Looper, you have Joe, who is 100% self-interest. Like, tunnel vision self-interest, to the point that he doesn't even realize someone has to point it out to him, that even if he does hunt down old Joe and he does get him, kill him or bring him back or whatever, they're not going to suddenly take him back into the organization because he's still fucked up and he's still, like, you know, attacked other people in the organization and stuff to try and save his own hide. So he's, like, totally tunnel vision, like, if I do this thing, I will get the life I always planned for myself.
Yeah.
Which is just keep partying, keep having drugs, keep doing whatever, which is what old Joe did do for about 20 odd years, and then until he met his wife.
It's funny because, you know, old Joe's hanging on to this, like, weird future that's just, like, everything was a mistake except for this one thing that he did.
Yeah, and I think, because old Joe knows that he can't go back to the wife, I think, but I think he just wants her to be alive.
Based on,
even if she's not with him.
Based on the weirdness of how the time travel works.
Yeah.
Like, he just pops out of existence. So you assume that he would have just, like, hypothetically, if old Joe had gotten away with it, shot the kid, he would have just stopped existing. Because he never would have been sent back in time.
Yeah, and that's what young Joe says, because Sarah asks, what does he think is going to happen if he kills Sid? And he said, oh, well, I think that he thinks that he'll just go back to being with his wife, because they won't have come and got him.
Yeah.
But then the whole loop doesn't work.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's a very complicated time travel situation in that movie. But I do think, yeah, I think in his ideal world as old Joe is that he would kill the child and then wake up in bed with his wife again.
Yeah.
Which I don't think is what would ever happen.
No.
Whereas young Joe is so determined to do, you know, his own thing and get out of there and, you know, go to France and, you know, just do drugs all the time, that he even says to old Joe, like, oh, show me a picture of her and I'll make sure if I ever see her, I walk the other way.
Yeah.
Problem solved, you know. but, like, he says it to Sarah then as well, that, you know, she's like, I need to know that I can trust you. And he's like, I don't want you to trust me. He's like, I don't care about you. I don't care about your kid. I know that the guy is coming here and I just want my payday and to get out of here.
Yeah.
That's all I want. And it's only, like, in the, you know, it does, you know, as it goes on, he cares more about Sarah than about Sid. But it's only really in that last few moments that he stops for a second to think and realizes, you know, the world is bigger than him and what is about to happen is just that this whole situation is going to cause Sid to go off on a bad track.
Yeah.
And that the only way for that not to happen is for him not to be there.
Yeah.
It's very complicated.
He should have popped.
He should have popped.
He kind of disappears. He should have just been like...
Oh, yeah. He just goes like... Yeah. But it's like the fingers disappearing on the other guy. It's like they're there and then they're not.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like... Because, and it's the same with his memory. That his memory is, you know, he's remembering things and it's that never happened to him, really. And
yeah.
It's just changed now. So his memory just changes. And it's this idea that, like, you know, this thing that we're seeing happening now for him happened 30 years ago.
Yeah.
But, like, instantaneously 30 years ago. So it's just, like, he just never was there. But all of a sudden. It's complicated. I like it, though. I really like it. I know we could pick apart holes in how time travel works in Looper if we wanted to. But I like the way they've done it.
Yeah.
I like that, you know, he goes back and then, like, I like the memory thing, that parts of his memory are foggy because they might or might not happen now that he's gone back. And it's, you know, some, and he says, like, they get clearer or more foggy as they get more or less likely to happen, you know. And it's the moment where young Joe meets Sarah and then old Joe is trying to remember his wife's face and he just keeps remembering Sarah.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh shit, you know, that this has changed the course because he had never been in love until he met his wife. And now suddenly he's got this other person in his life.
Yeah.
And it's just a really interesting way to deal with someone who has come back to the past and has met themselves and how what they do, like, it's a butterfly effect kind of thing.
Yeah.
I think it's really interesting.
With a frog you can summon Joseph Gordon-Levitt into your bedroom with.
Yeah, with a Joseph Gordon-Levitt summoning frog.
Yeah.
Yeah, did we mention that both, that the guy protecting Sarah in both movies sleeps with her? I don't know if we did. In one of them he conceives John Connor.
Yeah.
In the other, the kid's already around. The kid's already alive.
That we know.
And a genius. Yeah, I mean, they could do a Looper sequel where she has Joe's child.
Yeah.
But then what would they do?
But then again, the second child might also be Joe's child. Because, no, it's not Joe's child. It's the child of the girl that he was into at the pub, at the bar, the club, whatever the hell it is.
Yeah.
The weird strip thing, place to go to and hang out all the time.
Yeah. What about her?
She's the second Sarah Connor.
Yeah, but she, and the kid isn't killed.
Yeah.
But she's not going to be the Rainmaker. Her daughter's not going to be the Rainmaker.
Yeah, I know that. I'm just saying.
It's definitely Sid.
Yeah. It's not what I was saying, but okay.
Okay, what were you saying?
Well, it's too late now.
Okay.
Any other trivia?
Probably.
Because obviously box office and doesn't really matter.
We can do budget and box office because I have adjusted Terminator for inflation, so we can do that.
Okay.
Because I was interested. I think we've covered some of these. I covered the reason why he was studying French. But then another note on that is that he's not very good at studying French in the movie, whereas Joseph Gordon-Levitt is actually fluent in French.
Right.
So it's funny. And it's also not the first movie where Joseph Gordon-Levitt is bad at French in it, because it's the same in 10 Things I Hate About You, that he's studying French and is bad at it. Oh yeah, here's some facts that I thought were interesting, because it's one about each movie.
Okay.
That are basically the same, or some very similar facts. So we'll go Terminator first, which was... where was it? Where did I put it in the Terminator one? Somewhere in here. I've lost it. Oh yeah, so the nightclub in it that they go to, Tech Noir. So that was, James Cameron coined the term Tech Noir to refer to the kind of film category that Terminator falls under, also things like Blade Runner.
Right.
But they made their nightclub called Tech Noir, and they had the club built specifically for the film.
Right.
And it looked so real that like they had to keep turning away local clubbers who wanted to come and go to it as a nightclub. So the building now still exists, but it's now a jewelry store.
Right.
But also for Looper, they built the diner that they go to was custom built in Louisiana, about 60 miles west of New Orleans. So to shoot those scenes, they literally made like a diner, and then locals kept coming up to them asking when the diner was going to be open. They had to keep explaining to them that it wasn't a real diner, it was made for the film. But they left it there after filming completed, and apparently it's then stayed up through a hurricane in 2012, and then eventually they tore it down in 2014. But I just like that for both films, they set up a fake business that people just kept trying to go to.
Yeah, it makes sense.
It's very funny. Also, the scene where Joseph Gordon-Levitt falls off the fire escape was filmed on his 30th birthday, so they left him dangling from the stunt wires and sang happy birthday to him and wheeled out a birthday cake.
That's really mean.
Feels so funny. Terminator stuff, I feel like I've probably covered most of these things because I tried to kind of put them in there. There was a whole thing apparently in the original script where Sarah Connor was supposed to have a figure skating injury that had been fixed with surgical pins. So Terminator was going to cut open the legs of the first two Sarah Connors to see if they had the surgical pins to confirm if it was the right Sarah Connor.
That's weird, but
okay. And then since it wasn't really put into the movie to begin with, in the novelization of it, they changed the origin of the pins, and they said that the pins were put into her leg after it was broken in her fight against the Terminator.
Right.
And because of the bad records, Skynet knew that she had surgical pins in her leg, but not what they were from or when they were put in there. So the Terminator was looking for signs of an injury that she hadn't actually received yet. Which I feel like would be very funny to put in.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought that was interesting. There was, this is again about the budget a little bit, because there was a hydraulic arm that they used for the Terminator punching through the windshield in the alley.
Yeah.
And they had to rehearse it and choreograph it perfectly because they needed Arnie's face in the shot too. Because they couldn't afford to replace a windshield, so they could only do it once.
Right.
Another person who was considered for the role of Kyle Reese was Kurt Russell.
Okay.
Which is also interesting because apparently Kyle Reese was the model for Solid Snake in the artwork for the original Metal Gear.
Right.
So I thought that was a connection that you'd appreciate.
Yep.
No? Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I said yep.
Yep. I feel like that's about it, to be honest. I think I covered everything else.
Cool.
So the budget of Terminator was $6.4 million.
Which is like nothing, yeah.
So I adjusted it for inflation to 2012, so I could just compare them directly.
Okay.
So for inflation to 2012 was $14 million.
Still not a lot.
Versus Looper was $30 million budget.
Yeah.
And box office, Terminator made $78.3 million in 1984, which adjusted for inflation to 2012 was $173 million.
Right.
And Looper made $176 million. So box office wise, they actually are quite similar.
Yeah.
But Terminator did it on half the budget.
But we also just mentioned the fact that he was committing crimes the entire time.
He was, yeah, I mean, he was committing crimes. He was committing crimes and also didn't hire artists, so did the storyboards himself, and couldn't afford to replace a windshield, so they had to do things only once.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's a lot of corners cut, I feel like, with Terminator, but I think it doesn't look like a very low budget film.
No, it looks great, right, yeah.
There's like one sequence where it's like the robot Terminator after his skin is melted off running after them where there's clearly green screen, and I think I made a note at one point being like, I'm glad that for most of this they use practical sets and on location, because like when they have green screen it's very obvious green screen. But other than that one, like, that's the only sequence that feels like it's really aged a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, the weird, creepy claymation Terminator is the only downside to it. Because the animatronic one looks fucking great.
But the problem is they have the claymation-y sequences, but also against a green screen.
Yeah.
And that, the combo is bad.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's like a total shift in quality. It's like they suddenly went to like TV quality.
Yeah.
And then back to the animatronic is still obvious because he just makes the same movement over and over again.
Yeah.
But he still looks better than the claymation one, except when I think they put the animatronic in front of a green screen at one point as well, which,
yeah,
because there's a bit where Sarah and Kyle are in front of the green screen for like just one shot.
Yes, when they like run down the hallway.
They're like, yeah, and they close the door or whatever. It looks terrible.
Yeah.
But all the rest of it hasn't aged that badly. Yeah. So. Practical effects, folks.
Do you want to go watch Terminator 2 Judgment Day?
Not really.
Oh, okay.
I've seen it, though. I have seen it.
You want
to
go
watch it? I think I watched them back-to-back the first time.
Yeah,
because I
feel, that's the way to do it.
I feel like there were bits from the second one that I thought were in the first one, and obviously weren't.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's fine.
Do you know what else is bits in the second one?
What?
That you thought was in the first one? Our Discord! If you join it, the
that
link's in our...
That makes no sense!
It doesn't matter! Time travel!
Time travel into our Discord!
Time travel into our Discord. Tell us what you thought about this episode before it was released.
Yeah. We're recording this on Sunday the 12th of May.
Yeah.
And it's being released on Tuesday the 7th of May.
Is it?
No.
I'm late for things.
Yeah, because it is being released before your birthday, Mother's Day.
Yeah.
But it's for those. They're just not on a Tuesday, and we're not changing our schedule for it. I got distracted for a second there by the fact that something we said like made the shape of a fish on our audio.
Nice.
Anyway, away from that. Yes, you can join our Discord. You can find links in the show notes. We are also on Facebook, Instagram, Tumblr, YouTube. Our website is ittakes2.co.nz, so you can find links to everything on there.
Thanks for joining us in this wonderful time travel-y episode.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.